Doug Thomas, Director, Division of Substance Abuse and Mental Health in the Department of Human Services. People who have an addiction will tell you, you have to find other things that give your life meaning and value. And some people find it in family, some people find it in exercise, the outdoors. A lot of people in recovery are some of the most amazing people because they're giving back to help other people get into recovery, donating their time, their resources, and energy to help people who are in a place similar to where they were before. Social supports are so important. There's a lot of recent research showing that not having a social support system can be as influential on your health as not having healthcare. And so we need to have a social support system that supports people in recovery. And that's from people that are either in recovery or are not using. And so having those safe places and strong people that can help when it is a difficult time are really important. I don't think people would be surprised to know that there are people in recovery in all facets of life. There are friends, our family members, there are people we go to school with, we go to work with, we go to church with, and helping them feel comfortable and safe about disclosing that actually is a support to them so that they can, if they're struggling, say, hey, I'm really having a bad day. Oh, well, let's go to lunch or let's go fishing or whatever kinds of supports and activities are helpful.
For Ian Acker, exercise was that helpful support. He had struggled for years with alcohol addiction before sobriety seemed possible. While everybody in recovery gets there a little differently, often what comes next is just as important. That's why about 6 years ago, Acker posted on Facebook that he was going to work out, and anyone who wanted to join him was welcome.
I started with three people in a park, at Sugar House Park, and with a boombox.
Like, were these people you knew? Did you just put a sign up and say, I'm doing this?
I knew two of the people, and then I think one person trickled in, but I put a Facebook post saying, let's connect through exercise and recovery. And then I just stayed consistent. And now we have this.
Which is pretty nice.
It's crazy.
Why did you choose exercise?
Because when I'm done exercising, I'm present, and I can sit. I mean, if you ever see me, I just get really edgy and I'm all over the place. And I'm ADHD, whatever you want to clinically call me. But after I'm done sweating and wearing my body out, I feel like I can connect really well with people. When I'm in the middle of a set, like I'm giving people hugs and I'm you know, it's just easier for me to connect. It's just a lubricant to connection and serenity.
That was the start of Fit to Recover, or FTR, a nonprofit gym in Salt Lake City that serves as a recovery support group for people with substance use disorders. But Fit to Recover is more than members getting together to swing kettlebells or spot each other on pull-up bars. That's just one obvious component. Programming involves nutrition classes, creative expression through painting, writing, or even recording music. And lastly, through community service.
Giving back and being part of the community, because a lot of the times we were taking from the community. So now you have this idea of giving back, and you know, we go down to the homeless shelter, and some of our people have been homeless. The person who runs our community service once was down there, and that's where her passion is. She's so good at it, and it reminds us, you know, that like we could go back there, you know. And like today we're passing out last place medals at the marathon to let people know that, like, you tried, you did your best, and you finished, and that's all that matters.
That Acker will be out cheerleading for people he doesn't know isn't a surprise. As CEO and founder of FTR, he sets the tone for the organization, and it's a kind and reassuring one.
I think the reason that it works is because I truly do care how they're doing, right? And I think that, like, they have so many other things going on. The last thing they want to do is come somewhere and feel uncomfortable.
He teaches boot camp on Saturday mornings, and before it starts, Acker is pacing across the gym, perfecting his playlist, and greeting people as they come in. It seems everyone gets a hug. Some of the regulars chat, but for the most part, people sit and stretch in silence. A transformation happens somewhere in the hour that Acker has them squatting and doing burpees. The last part of the class is devoted to talking. Anyone who needs to speak is encouraged to do so. One woman shares that she lost a friend to suicide a few days ago. She's angry, and she needed some place to go and work through it. And FTR was it. That's why this place is so meaningful for the 400 people who come and attend classes every week. They come to work out, and they tend to leave a little lighter.
Is there extra pressure because, like, for you in a way, because you started this program? Do you feel like
Absolutely.
A lot? Do you feel a lot? I feel like I would feel a lot of weight.
Yeah, I do. Like, I feel a lot of weight every day, man. I have a lot of character defects, and there's some really hard days. And there are days where I want to quit, and there are days where I don't know what to do. And I feel like everything's ending, but the things that I hold on to is like gratitude. And like when I was first getting sober, I said, if I just have a purpose and I can help people, that's all I really want. And I remember that. Even though it's really hard and it's difficult, I still wake up every day with a purpose.
For Georgia Gregerson, FTR's operations manager, establishing a support system is critical for people in recovery. Because addiction is something that needs to be managed, like a chronic disease. It doesn't disappear the day you stop using. And when tragedies happen, like the death of a loved one, having social supports in place may be more likely to help a person in recovery to endure them without relapsing. This is something Gregerson knows all too well.
I mean, I had almost 6 years of sobriety the first time, and I had my whole life together. I mean, I was graduating college. Like, I mean, if you looked at my life, you'd be like, she is succeeding at life. And I thought, I can just drink one Heineken. Fast forward a couple years, I'm homeless. I'm addicted to heroin. I'm living on the streets. I lost complete custody of my son. And if that isn't proof that it is progressive, then I don't know what is. Like, I didn't stay vigilant.
It's not uncommon for setbacks to happen in recovery. It may take a person years before they find out what works for them and have the resources in place to pursue them, Gregerson says.
It's like there's a magical moment, I guess, where like maybe the resources and the help becomes available at a point in time when somebody is willing. And I think the resources are key because a lot of times when you give somebody resources, even if they don't take to it at the first time, it doesn't mean it doesn't work and it doesn't mean it's not helpful, because if I hadn't been introduced to a program of recovery, I wouldn't have known where to go. Wouldn't have known it was even a thing. When people come here and they stay for a week and then they relapse, they still know that FTR is here. They still know that it's possible for people to be sober and to be happy. And they remember that even when they're back out there using. They know, like I knew.
But when resources and timing align, groups like FTR will be there to help people stay the course.
You know I'm back, like I never left. I never left. Another sprint, another step.
The goal is the same, to connect, right? To have an experience that's scary. That's how I think of it, is it's scary. When you show up for something that scares you, and you do it anyways, I mean, that's what recovery is all about. Being sober is absolutely terrifying. And you do it anyways.
I'm running late. What can I say? I heard you die twice. Once when they bury you in the grave. And the second time is the last time that somebody mentions your name. So when I leave.
With Utah Public Radio, I'm Kristen Munson.
Did I look out for the people, or did I do it all for fame? Legend is Exodus.
This UPR original series is brought to you in part by the Association for Utah Community Health, providing training and technical assistance to health centers and affiliates across Utah. More information available online at auch.org.